please take your Bibles, and if you'll turn with me at this time to the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. Of course, it's Easter, and this is an Easter passage, but we're going to look at this section of Scripture today through the eyes of Peter. Right? Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. He's actually my personal favorite disciple, maybe yours also. I can really relate to Peter. He's also one of two disciples who participated in a foot race to the tomb on that first Easter Sunday. And that's what we read about in our passage this morning. So we're in John chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, we commit this message now to you, Lord. And Lord, as we look at the Easter story a little different this morning through the eyes of Simon Peter, Lord, I pray that you would help us to perhaps view things with fresh eyes, come to a greater appreciation and understanding of all that you've done for us in your resurrection. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, my name is Simon. You probably know me better by my other name, Peter. That's the name Jesus gave me when I first met him. But you know, a lot has happened since that day when my brother Andrew first brought me to Jesus. Believe me, I've got so many stories I could share with you today. But I want to tell you about a foot race. A foot race that took place that Easter morning so many years ago. A foot race that changed my life. Now, I hear that you have some pretty impressive races in your time. NASCAR, you know, the Olympics. I even heard about this reality show you have called The Amazing Race. With all due respect, I believe the foot race I am about to share with you easily qualifies as the most amazing race of all time. You want to talk about reality shows? The race I'm about to share with you really happened. And what I found at the finish line, that is a reality that we all must face one day. I'm getting ahead of myself, which is not easy to do when you're running a race. But let me begin by telling you a little bit more about me. Okay? My name's Peter. As I mentioned before, it wasn't always Peter. It was originally Simon. My parents called me Simon. My brother called me Simon. My friends called me Simon. All my life, all I'd ever been called was Simon. And then one day, my brother Andrew comes running up to me and says, "Simon," right? That's my name. "Simon, we found the Messiah." I'm thinking, the Messiah? The Messiah, the one God promised who had come to deliver our people? The Messiah, the one spoken of by the prophets, the one foretold in the Scriptures? Now, Andrew, he'd been hanging out. He'd been spending a lot of time with this man they call John the Baptist. And you know, most people consider John a prophet of sorts. I thought he was kind of strange, lived out in the wilderness, baptizing people in the Jordan River. Andrew counted himself as one of John's disciples. Now, John had made it clear that he wasn't the Messiah. right? He was only preparing the way for the Messiah to come. But now Andrew's here, and he's telling me they found the actual Messiah. And so Andrew brought me to Jesus. And when we got there, Jesus took one look at me, and he said, "You are Simon," right? "You are Simon, son of Jonah. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Now, I don't know what I was expecting when Andrew brought me to Jesus, but I was not expecting that. I mean, it wasn't just that a complete stranger is here telling me he's got to change my name, right? I mean, that's odd enough, but it's the name that he chose for me. Peter? You know what Peter means? Peter means rock. Rock. The rock. And as everyone who knows me will tell you, I am far from being a rock. Okay, you know, when I think about rocks, I think of strength and stability. And I may be a strong man physically, right? But stability and steadfastness, those are not my strong suits. I'm known for being impetuous. Act first, think later. That's the story of my life. Constantly putting my foot in my mouth. Peter, the rock. What was Jesus thinking? And then Jesus called me, of all people, he called me to follow him as one of his disciples. I was at the Sea of Galilee at the time. My brother Andrew and I, we were fishing because, well, you know, we were fishermen. That's what you do when you're a fisherman, right? And all of a sudden, Jesus walks right up to us and he says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, I can't tell you exactly why we did it, but neither of us hesitated. At once, we just left our nets, and we followed him. We walked a little further on down the shore where our fishing buddies, James and John, were. They're preparing their nets. Jesus called them to follow him as well. You know what they did? They got up. They left their father in the boat with the hired men, and they followed Jesus too. You know what? Before long, there were 12 of us. And we went everywhere with Jesus. He was amazing. Oh, he was he went throughout Galilee. He taught in the synagogues. He preached the good news of the kingdom. He healed every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread everywhere. Large crowds followed him everywhere. For 3 whole years, we followed Jesus, watching him perform one miracle after another. And it was toward the end of our time with him. One day he just stopped. And he asked us. He said, "Who do people say that I am?" Yeah, you know, we'd heard people talk. We replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But then he pressed us further. He said, "What about you? What about you? Who do you say I am?" And I spoke up. And I answered, "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus, he actually pronounced a blessing upon me. And then he told me, he said, "Hey, this was not revealed to you by any man. This was revealed to you directly by my Father in heaven." And then he called me Peter, the rock. And he said, "And on this rock, I will build my church." Whoa, you know, I'm thinking, have I finally earned my name? The rock. Ah, and I was feeling pretty good about myself. Until a few minutes later, when Jesus started talking about going to Jerusalem and suffering and being killed and raised to life again. And he was just talking like a crazy man. And so, you know, someone had to do it. I took him aside and I rebuked him. I said, "Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Jesus rebuked me right back. And he turned to me and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." I got to tell you, I liked that name Peter a whole lot better than Satan. I had gone from the rock to the stumbling block in just a few short minutes. I warned you, told you I wasn't the steadiest person in the world. Why would Jesus give me a name like Peter? Well, we finally arrived in Jerusalem. Jesus had been keeping a low profile because of the religious leaders. They were plotting to take his life. But the Sunday before Passover, we went public. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey as a king. And the people waved their palm branches and they shouted his praises. Next day, Monday, Jesus cleared the temple. He drove out all of those who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers. He flipped over the benches of those selling the doves. And he said, "Is it not written that my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of robbers." And oh boy, everything went downhill from there. All week long, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they baited Jesus with questions, trying to trick him, trying to trap him. They feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. They were looking for a way to kill him. You know what? They found their way. Oh yeah, they found their way. His name was Judas. Judas, he was one of our own. He was one of the 12. And he agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. We didn't know anything about it until Thursday of that week. We were sharing the Passover meal together. When Jesus all of a sudden became really troubled in his spirit, and he testified, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me." We were all shocked. We were stunned. We couldn't believe it. And then Jesus did something strange. He took the piece of bread he was holding, he dipped it into a dish, and he handed it to Judas. And he said to him, "What you're about to do, do quickly." And Judas just left. He went out into the night. We still didn't understand what was going on. And then Jesus told us that we also would all abandon him. But I told him, I said, "Hey, even if all these other guys fall away, right? Even if they fall away on account of you, I never will." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter," he called me Peter. "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." But I told him, I said, "Hey, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Brave, proud, foolish words. I meant them when I said them. But oh, how those words would come back to haunt me. After the meal, we walked with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked us to watch and pray with him. We all fell asleep. Then they came to arrest him. Sure enough, we all scattered, just as Jesus said we would. I followed at a safe distance, sat down by the fire in the courtyard. Servant girl came up, just a little thing. Somehow she recognized me, saw my face in the firelight. She said, this man was with him. I denied it. Three times that night, I denied my Lord, just as Jesus had foretold. Some rock, huh? Told you I didn't know why Jesus would call me Peter. It's the third time I denied Christ. The rooster crowed. And Jesus looked straight at me. That was it. That was it. I went outside. I wept bitterly. And Peter, the rock, had denied his Lord three times. I felt like my life was over. They convicted Jesus on false charges. They led him away to crucify him. As he hung there on the cross, he ministered to those who mourned. He prayed for forgiveness for his enemies. He cried out, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. They buried him in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph was a good man. He actually went to Pilate himself and asked for the body. Joseph wrapped Jesus' body in strips of linen, laid the body in his own tomb, rolled a big stone in front of the entrance, went away. Mary Magdalene was there along with some others. She saw exactly where they laid him. Pilate posted a guard. As far as we knew, that was the end of the story. I had left everything to follow Jesus. Now here I was 3 years later with nothing. Nothing to show for it. A broken man, weighed down with sorrow, guilt, and shame. Until the foot race. Remember the foot race? The foot race that changed my life. It was early Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene and some others who'd gone to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, they got there and they saw the stone had been rolled away. And so Mary came running to John and to me and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where he is. We don't know where they've put him." And you know, immediately John and I, we started for the tomb. We were both running. John was faster, okay? He was faster. He got there first. He bent over, he looked in, he saw the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Finally, I got there. What do? I just walk right into the tomb. Told you I was impetuous, right? I just walked straight in. And this is what I saw. I saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. This burial cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And I'm looking at this. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I was expecting either to find Jesus' body lying there all wrapped up in the grave clothes or to find nothing at all. Because when you steal a body, you take the whole thing, right? You don't just unwrap the body and take that time and leave the grave clothes behind. None of this made any sense. I didn't know what to think. And then finally John came in too. Ah, John, the disciple Jesus loved. John came in. And you know what? He saw the exact same things I did, right? He saw the empty tomb. He saw the strips of linen. He saw the burial cloth all folded up neatly and set to the side. But here was the difference. John saw all these things and he believed. Right there, right then, John believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. The rest of us, we didn't believe until we actually saw Jesus alive. But John believed in Jesus' resurrection before he even saw him. He was the only one. Now, we still did not understand from Scripture that, that Jesus had to rise from the dead. That came later. You know, later on, we'd open our Bibles, we'd read scriptures like Psalm 16. That's the one you guys read earlier in your service today. You know, where David wrote, "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." And we'd read those passages and we'd say, how could we have missed it? Why didn't we see that before? But for right now, it was all still a mystery to us. And in the coming days, Jesus appeared to me, and then to the rest of the disciples. And you know what? He forgave my sin, and he restored me to leadership. And yes, unworthy as I am, my confession of him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that became the rock upon which Jesus built his church. And so only by God's grace, I really did become Peter, the rock, the name he gave me when I first met him. You know, I still think about that foot race a lot. A foot race to the tomb. Everything depended on what I would find or not find when I got there. My whole life turned on those moments. It was a foot race to the tomb. And what I found at the finish line changed my life forever. You know, in a sense, we are all on a foot race to the tomb. Or to the grave, as we tend to say today. Life is short. We are on a foot race to the grave, and some of us will reach it sooner than others. Let's face it, some of us have a head start. Only God knows the number of your days. But because Jesus rose from the dead at Easter, you do not need to fear death. Jesus conquered sin and death so that you could rise with him one day. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That is the good news of Easter. That is the good news of Christ. Jesus is alive, and he is a Savior to all who put their faith in him. So let me ask you, are you trusting Christ this morning? If you are, then praise God. That means you're saved. Your sins are forgiven. You will live with God and Jesus forever. Are you outside of Christ this morning? Then you are missing out on the good news of Easter. And I would encourage you to come to Christ today. Put your faith in Jesus who died for you and rose again on the third day. Why? Because he is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming and dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for rising again to give us new life and new hope. And thank you, God, that you have a heart for sinners, losers, failures, like Peter and me. And each of us here. But when we come to you and put our faith in the risen Lord, you give us a new name, a new identity, a new life, a new future, a new destiny. And it's all because of Jesus who died and rose again. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.